For joining us for another episode of Sales with Adlin. I'm finally back in the studio with my trusty co-host, Tab Norris. And we both know, Tab, that that people listening to this podcast have a choice in where they're going to find education, entertainment, and we're very grateful that they're here with us today.
Yes. It's always so great. Love it.
I don't know if you're that sincere, Tab, but we're going to move on.
I am. I am.
You are sincere.
So sincere.
Beautiful. Good. Well, I know you're sincere about the topic today because this bubbled up in a workshop that I was delivering recently, and it reminded me of the importance of not forgetting a critical element of selling. And it really is so easy to forget, but really determining who is the decision maker.
Yeah, it seems so simple, but it... But it's pretty huge, and it's not always easy.
Right. Well, because there's information that you're getting, right? Somebody calls, somebody reaches out, you know, they say, hey, I want to talk to you about whatever. And then they say, hey, I want to pull my team members in. And so they're all coming at you saying, I want this, I need this. I just had a meeting with a company that you're very familiar with. There's four or five people involved, and they all have different roles. And it's like, I'm working with the right people, right? And so it's easy to get comfortable. Gartner says, I think a recent study said there's 6.8 people involved the average number of people involved in a B2B decision related to buying a solution is 6.8, which I don't know how they get to 6.8. But are you seeing that? That number?
Oh, I think it's worse than that. I think it's getting worse. I think it's probably more than that now. I think it's getting tougher and tougher every year. I just feel like things are, you know, ever since COVID, I think it just continues to get tougher and tougher. I think there's so many factors, like the virtual thing. Have you seen that really impact this?
I think virtual has changed it because it's so easy. Like I have a meeting on Monday, and it's so easy to invite 15 people to a meeting. Some will be there on site, and some people will join. I was presenting to a company not too long ago, and there must have been 20-something people.
I just had the same thing. Yeah. I would have normally gotten on a flight and gone to St. Louis or wherever they were, and I would have had five people in that meeting, and it would have been great. But I would have smelled that. You know what I mean? I would have figured things out. But then I have 20 people on this Zoom call, and half of them don't have their cameras on.
Well, that's a good point. Not only is there more people because it's easy to invite them in to the process because they can just, just join a meeting, right? Where they are. They don't have to fly anywhere. And they're not saying, hey, look, we don't want you to fly over the place and we're going to limit it to this as our group. But also determining, you know, who has the flower and rank and we're going to talk about why that's important. So that's important. So what we want to do today is kind of remind everybody of the importance of really understanding who the players are. And there's three types of sellers I've noticed over the years of doing this, Tab. Mm-hmm. There's three approaches, I mean, maybe not types of sellers, but three approaches to kind of determining the decision maker. And the one is just assume. You know,
and always pays off. That's always a great system.
You're asking me these questions. You're acting like the decision maker.
So therefore, you
are the decision maker. Yeah, like I had a deal fall apart a couple of years ago where the person reached out very passionate, and even I started working with the SVP, and that was looked like we were talking to the right people. Well, the CEO was connected to somebody else, chose that solution, which is different than the solution I offered, and off they went, and that deal went away. Now, I didn't assume that I knew who the decision maker was, but actually, that's not true. As I reflect on that, I think I assumed that the SVP was.
Yeah, which we
and
do
because
all the
it
time.
felt like that was the right person. So, based on the information, so I made a mistake. So people assume. Yep. Based on the information they're getting. And that's also the easy, that's sort of the lazy thing to do. It's like, that's easy, you know? Mm-hmm. Then there's people that think the formal structure, right, that tells me who the decision makers are. The people that the highest ranked people are the people that are the decision makers. you know, the SVP outranks the VP, and the VP outranks the director, and the director outranks the manager. And so therefore I know who, right. And that's one approach, but that's actually not accurate either. The people that really understand how to win deals, who have a higher close rate and don't get sabotaged in the end. And one of the reasons they have higher close rates is because they actually know who the real decision makers are. They find out the real decision drivers from the real people, and then they present to the right people the right things, right? Because that's one of the problems if you don't know who the decision maker is. And those are the people that understand the informal. Like, there is a political structure in every organization when they're making a decision. So it's this informal group. And the status within the group is not determined by rank, but it's determined by influence. It's like being in high school.
Yes.
Right. You're all hanging out in the lunchroom, right? You could say there's a rank, right? This person has the highest GPA, or this person's president of this. They're club
captain of the football team.
Our captain. Like there that. Could be that. Yeah. But the reality is, what we're going to do on Friday, it's determined by somebody who has the most influence.
Right.
And then there's person that he or she listens to that will decide what we do on Friday.
Yeah.
And there's people that they don't listen to that will decide what they do. And then there's people who are like, hey, I'll find out if that place is available. And then that person goes and finds out. But they're not the one to determine it. It's just like high school.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great word picture. I'm going to remember that next deal I'm working.
Yeah, it really. Yeah, because you're like, because there's people in companies to go to lunch together. There's people that talk. There's people that don't talk.
Yeah.
And people are trying to move up the ladder, right? People are trying. It's all political. And so we need to understand the political structure. And that's really what we want to talk about today.
Well, can I tell a story?
Yeah, tell me.
Because I just lost a deal. I would love to say we always share stories where we crush it and we're just perfect. But yeah, I know you're going to be shocked, Tom. I lost a deal and it was my fault. And it's exactly what we're talking about here. It was a great, you know, just everything was perfect. You know, great lead, looked fantastic. The tie. I did a little bit more of what your second version was.
Yeah.
I really trusted the structure.
Yeah.
This person, and it was a lead. It was a proactive thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and he had the right title. He brought in the right people. I mean, it was just everything was, you know, I'm just like, this is too easy. Yeah. I mean, this is amazing. We are a perfect fit based on what I'm learning. Well, it goes silent. And I get an email that says, we went a different direction. You're out. I mean, like, we lost. And I'm sure you've had that happen to you. You just get completely blindsided. You thought we're the perfect fit. They line up beautifully. It was a global deal. It really was right in our sweet spot.
Yeah.
Guess what I found out? It's exactly what you said. There was a guy who was like a regular frontline kind of manager who just happened to be he was cool in the lunchroom, I guess.
Yeah.
And
he had
power. He had the influence because, and it was something, it was so crazy. If I had known this, I do believe we could have won the deal, but I didn't find out that his criteria was, he wanted to know, he cared a ton about how many actual trainers were located in Europe.
Like, yeah. So that question, yeah, that's got to be answered.
And so this other company figured that out. And guess what? They drove that home. They laid it out, made it real tight and real clear. And so when I'm getting my feedback of why I lost, guess what? That was it. And it all was because I didn't find that person that had influence that wasn't in the org chart.
That is why, and that's the number one reason it's so important for you to identify who the people are, because they have their own formal and informal decision drivers.
Yep.
And the formal are probably easier to uncover. Like, you know, they have a spreadsheet and says, this is the things we care about. We care about, you know, that it's global, it's this. And as a category, you go, yeah, I got that. But the informal is like, I want to know the names of people that you have, and I want to see all the trainers, and I want to know. Yeah. And because the last time I did this, this didn't happen, and I want to know they can speak. Like, and you don't really, you've only got a limited amount of time to present your solution. And if you really don't know, because we're always making decisions. And so if you don't know the drivers, you don't know what to present, because they're also conflicting drivers.
Well, yeah, and there's so many that can be, that you can't even figure them all out. I mean, like, there's no way. You've got to, you just have to be, a lot more. I always tell people, people that are really good at this, they're just a little pessimistic. Like they feel like every deal's going to fail. Like they're going to get undercut. They're not overly optimistic. Like a lot of salespeople tend to be.
Yeah. Which is a good trait when you're doing the hard work. Yeah.
Maybe not political structure. So anyway, well, I'd love to, this is something I know you've spent a lot of time on. I really wanted to ask you a few questions about this, if you're open to that.
Yeah, I would love. No, I'm not open, Tab.
Are you receptive?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm very. Yeah. Well, and I want to say one other thing before we dive into questions. I think you know you're pointing out why we want to uncover the political structure, because if we don't know the decision driver, we won't know the decision drivers if we don't know who's making the decision.
Right.
That's just required, right? The other thing is, let's say you know who the decision maker is, right? But you don't, it access is difficult and you're like, yeah, well, I know who it is and I can. The problem then is you have other people who are untrained, right? And don't understand your solution. Their description of your solution is now in their hands to say it to somebody else. Because if you have access, you can talk to them. Right. Otherwise, they're once removed, and now they're going to have to carry that message, and you don't want that to happen.
Right. So makes sense. So, I mean, that's why this is such a big deal. I mean, I totally get it. It's like, and I do think that is the scariest place to be, isn't it? Trusting somebody else to go, hey, I got it. No problem. I'll present for you. Oh, no. I'll make sure all the people that matter really get the message.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's good. All right. So, going down this road, first question I had for you is like, what's the first step?
So the first step is to label the players. Like there's four roles in the process, right? Or in the decision-making, on the decision-making team, if you will. I like to call it a political structure because I think of it as political. And that helps me remind myself, this isn't a hierarchical thing. This is like an informal structure. And if you think about, there's really four people. There's people that determine what will happen. Right. There's people that you, so I just think of it not as rank, not title, but who are the people, or who is the person? There's always one person has the most influence, and that's the person that will determine what will happen. They're the people that determine the budget. They're the people that determine the decision drivers. And then there's the people that they listen to, because people do not want to make a decision in a silo. They're like, this is what we're doing. Because by the way, if it doesn't go well,
they everybody need to get knows.
Yeah, they need.
They want to be. We all in this together.
We all kind of stuck together.
Yeah, Jimmy and Johnny, you were right there with me.
Exactly. and so those are the people that are on the inner circle, right? The influencers on the inner circle. Now, the other cool thing is, if there's an influencer who also is aligned with you and wants you to win, they can be a sponsor, right? So that's another player, an influencer who wants you to win. That's a key, and is connected to the decision maker. Now, they're a sponsor, and they're the ones that can potentially get you connected to the decision maker. Then there's the people who make it happen. Those are your evaluators, and usually there's one evaluator. They're the point person. They're the ones that talk to you all the time. There's the one that asks all the questions. There's the one that coordinate everything. And here's the scary thing about the evaluator. They act like the decision maker.
They totally do. And how many times have we all been fooled by that one? And they're so passionate and they're so like, we're doing this and this is great.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah, that can be. Now, I love working with evaluators because they are invested in it. That's their responsibility. That's their priority.
Yeah.
And so it's great to work, but you want to be able to work together with them to serve the decision maker, because it's ultimately going to make them look good. And they need to feel confident that if they're going to allow you access to the decision maker or key influencers, they're going to look good. Because that's a big risk for them, especially if you want to change the decision drivers.
Yeah.
Because they're evaluated on going to find a solution that matches not their decision drivers, because they're not online if this winter, if this thing goes, fails, they're not online. They're not at risk. They're not on, they're not, a, you know, they're not signing up for this. They're saying, I'm just on, I'm here to support you to go get this done.
Yeah.
And so they're judged by how close, how well they can align the solution to the decision drivers that the decision maker, you know, laid out. So that's a risk for them. And which also can be a barrier to getting the decision maker because you don't match. And then there's the last person on the team is a coach, critical role. This is a person that knows what's happening, cares about the solution, meaning they probably experienced the problem, but doesn't have, there's not part of the decision-making process.
Yeah.
So they see what's happening in the room.
Mm-hmm.
They know who the players are,
mm-hmm.
but and they're also aligned with you. They want they're your advocate.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, so how any tips or ideas of how you work with each one? You know, because obviously they're very different. Do you have some things to share about the best way to work with, like, the, you know, your coach or your evaluator?
Well, the key, the first thing you got to find out is how they aligned with you.
Okay.
Well, and now let me back up. I'd say the first thing we got to find out is who they are.
Yeah. So figure
right.
out the
big
kind
we
of
got
to
figure
out
right.
So there, mapping.
There's okay. a couple of things that you can do, and of course you know some of this tab, although we haven't talked about it in a while.
Right.
Obviously,
I'm not very good at this. I just lost a deal, so
well,
I need this.
Well, you can't have 100% close rate, Ted. Nor can I. But one of the things that people overlook that's helpful in figuring out who the players are is they wait till it's too late.
Yes.
When you're early, when you're walking in the door, mm-hmm. right, or you're on your first meeting, you know, what you, sometimes you're meeting with a low-level person who's put you, who's connected you and said, hey, I'm reaching out to see if you can do this. And if what you offer matches, I'm out. I just did the research. I'm going to introduce you to Susan, right? Or Jamie. And that's your, and a lot of people overlook that first person rather than go, well, who's Jamie and who's Susan and where'd this come from? And what, because they're just like connecting the dots.
Yeah.
They're just saying, hey, I did some research. I'm in marketing. I'm in marketing. I did something. I pulled this together and I want to see if you could do it. Great. Here's the people you should talk to. And you're out.
Yeah.
And we just overlook that person. Or as you're walking through the building or you're having your initial conversations, you want to be looking for people who you can talk to later. Again, who aren't going to be all formal on you.
Right.
I mean, literally, I've worked with people in when I've been in a very formal situation who met me at the door and walked me to the presentation.
Yeah.
You know, make yeah. friends with them. And now maybe they don't really, they know what's happening in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point in time, this thing's going to go dark. Purchasing may get involved, especially if it's a large deal. So early, being involved early and looking for the, for clues. Like I look for clues to help me see who are the decision makers.
I heard you say that. That stuck with me. You've heard you say that before. This thing's going to go dark.
Yeah.
And when it does, you're not going to be able to get information. And that's a good way to think about that, is it feels all good and happy in the beginning, mm-hmm. but be a little pessimistic or be, looking around. But I will say, I mean, like we talked about this a little bit earlier, don't you think that if you can't be on site, it does make it harder?
It definitely makes it harder.
To figure that out. Because you can
kind of feel
it. And
that's where you look accused. Like if you watch mm-hmm. how people interact, if it's a Zoom call or your Teams call, and you watch how people interact or who interrupts who to ask a question and the kinds of questions people ask, you can see people that speak with more authority, people listen
yeah.
to them more. Just don't look at the titles.
Yeah.
Watch how they interact with each other and you'll start to get,
yeah.
and watch how they talk. They'll say things like we. Or they,
mm-hmm.
or we'll have to talk to the team, or you want to double click on that. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by who's we or who's they or who else is involved? My favorite question is to just sort of lay out the process.
Okay.
Right. I'd say, like, let's just assume this is a solution that you want to invest in. Let's say you're early and they're not sure.
Yeah.
What's the process? Like, what would you do next? And who, and then you're like, well, who would be involved with that? right? And who initiated this, and who's on the hook if it goes well or doesn't go well? So you just kind of don't focus on this little meeting and the people you're talking to, but just step back. Where'd it come from, and where's it going, and who's involved? And if I get that big picture, and also try to assume, you know, this is where rank does help. Is there somebody up above that will get involved?
Yeah.
Rank could equal influence.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, anything about like kind of breaking it down into the individual roles, and, and is there anything specific? Because I mean, that's kind of from a broad perspective, but is anything just around like evaluators or around coaches that we should be aware of?
Yeah, I think the biggest two things I think people overlook, Tab.
Okay.
And one is a negative influencer. I think you and I both have been burnt on a negative influencer.
Oh, my gosh. So many times it hurts.
I have a story. Like, you got an influencer that you didn't recognize, and they're negative.
Right.
And so we assume, and we, like, I had a situation where I was, it was a large distributor, and I was working with the decision maker. So I am working with the decision maker, and I believe it's the decision maker, but there's an influencer that I didn't see. And so the decision maker was head of all of sales, all of revenue. And they're like, we want to buy this. We're investing. The answer is yes. Before we move forward, though, I want you to go to Greenville and deliver this program, pilot program, to a team in Greenville.
Yeah.
Being the naive, this is probably 20 years ago, being the naive person that I was, I said, sure, feeling confident that I've won the deal, and I'm just kind of educating. I'm letting people know.
Yeah.
Right. I'm letting people know that what we're doing, and I'm happy to involve them in the process. It's kind of a roadshow in my mind.
Yeah.
So I assume I didn't look at the whole political structure, and I didn't ask the question, why am I going to Greenville? You're not in Greenville. You're in Atlanta.
Ah.
Right. Why do you want me to go to Greenville? I didn't ask that question. I just went to Greenville, delivered the program. Everybody seemed to like it. It was going well. And at the end of the workshop, this guy stands up, looks like he's about 60 years old, gray hair, stands with a certain power and authority, and asks a question. He says, you know, our number one, he says it this way, who's our number one customer? And I said, and I didn't say anything. I was watching. I didn't know the answer to that question. Everybody said, IBM. Well, IBM is known for sales training and known for a program called solution selling. Has anybody talked to IBM? Everybody
got real quiet.
Sounds like a good idea. I mean, number one customer. So, you know, I'm like, okay, well, we'll talk about that. And I made some comments and we can do this, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. And I was kind of a little bit confused. So after the meeting, I call my VP and say, well, what was that? Who was that guy? And what was that all about? He goes, well, that guy is actually the friend of the chairman of the board, and he used to work at IBM. And he's making a recommendation to the VP that we should talk to me.
Yeah.
And that deal. Here's the thing: they never worked with IBM. They never worked with us. The deal just lost steam.
Yeah, and which is huge, because if you don't. And I would tell people that all the time. You don't know when this is going to light up, and it'll light up, and then it can just die fast. I mean, you have no idea.
Yeah, your biggest competition is doing nothing, and we had momentum.
Yeah,
and everybody was excited, and this guy just got them redirected, and then something happened, and the next thing you know, they never invested in any solution. Had I known that that was an influencer, like if I'd have said, "Hey, who is this and what's their role?" Well, he's a friend of the chairman. Why do you want me to talk to him? Well, because he's as a key influencer, we want to make sure he's on board. I would have gone and seen him personally.
Oh yeah,
spent time with him, because what we need to do with influencers is look at them as decision makers and treat them as decision makers and spend the same amount of time winning them over.
Yeah,
than we would the decision maker, because if they whisper in somebody's ear. And they're with them, you know, 5 days a week or 3 days a week, or they can access them anytime. They can say anything to kill the deal. So influencers are key.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. A little story. I'm working a deal right now, and it's an example of kind of tapping into an influencer when you get, tell me if this fits, but you get stuck. Like, I'm trying to get into this big global account, It's got lots of, you know, different businesses. It's very decentralized. And I've been getting frustrated because I can't really get much traction and everything's, and I finally, and I had a coach, and the coach said, you really need to be in these other businesses. And, you know, I'm like, well, great, but I can't get any traction. Is there anybody that could, you know, you, I know you love us, but is there anybody that I could help me? Like, who has influence? Like, who has some kind of power with all these different companies? He goes, oh, yeah. And he just lit up and he gave me this person's name. And I don't, it's been amazing. And what it turns out is this person's like in a sales enablement kind of role. But guess what? He was highly successful in multiple business units all over the world. And he has all this respect. So he does have power. Like, he can create meetings. He can set you up with the person who runs that business. I mean, it's just been, I mean, and I'm just getting started, but it's really been a great example of what you're talking about. If you can find that person that has influence, it can be just an invaluable tool to really help you, you know, serve, you know, and kind of create some opportunities.
Yeah, and it's not about it's a great point. It's not about manipulation.
No.
It's about making sure that you're going to walk into a room and address all the concerns and importance for the people that have to determine what will happen, because these are the people who potentially could get fired for choosing you.
Yeah.
Or they could get a bonus because of you. These are major risks. They're major. There's in any organization, there are people that want them to fail.
Yes.
Right. There are little birds going around. Hey, so-and-so implement this. And so if they succeed, then the people that want them to fail, right, kind of go away. But if it does, if they don't succeed, depending on the level, right, the fact that they don't succeed could cost them their job. Or there's other people, gives the other people ammunition. Well, so-and-so is really not doing a good job, you know, because they implemented this thing. They have the CRM, the software. Nobody's adopting it. And, you know, so this is major. We just want a commission.
Yeah.
And so by understanding what's important to everybody and by positioning why you need to talk to them, then that helps you get those meetings. And you also, the other thing you're bringing up, Tab, is the point about rank doesn't equal influence.
Like,
it's just who has influence.
Yeah, you would never, this person you'd never know from his rank that he has the influence that he has. And that happens all the time.
Yes, exactly.
So, that's great.
The other thing I would say is the evaluator piece. That's another key person.
So what do you, I mean, if you had to net it out, what would you say is the biggest challenge?
I think it's the evaluator. It's the it's the evaluator who acts like a decision maker and which is blocking your access to I got this. Don't talk to anybody else. And you know, and here's why that really matters.
Okay.
If what they're instructed to purchase, if you will, the solution the designs that they were given to go find that solution, the parameters they're supposed to work in, budget, decision drivers, doesn't match what they should be doing. Right? You know they're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe you have a better solution. And the evaluator says, I don't care. I mean, I literally one time asked him, I said this to an evaluator. I said, what you're trying to do, okay, so your goal is sales transformation. And what you're doing is you want to implement a digital program that doesn't really bring people together and change behavior, or get them in, you know, and you also have reps who don't want to change. And you want to do a digital program, which is going to be hard to drive change. And you don't want to do anything for your leaders. If I could show you another way that actually could drive transformation and maybe potentially like clients like yours who've driven millions of dollars in incremental revenue growth, would you be interested in looking at another solution? I'll never forget what she said. She goes, no. And she was being sincere. It wasn't like, no, because you're trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
Because I was dropping the rope and saying it with all curiosity that I could say it. And she's just like, no.
Just flat out. Done.
Well, she's like, no, basically she says, I'm told to go find this thing. I don't really care about any of this stuff. By the way, if we grew 2 million, I probably have a hard time finding a parking space. I might have to move my desk.
She didn't want to do it.
She could care less about the company.
This thing done. She just wants to do the project.
Right. So now I have a choice.
Okay.
I could either risk my relationship with the evaluator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go around them. or works with the evaluator. So I'm going to do the best I can to work with the evaluator when I think they're making a bad decision, or I'm at risk or they're at risk. And hopefully I can take them with me. Hopefully I can win them over and help them see that it's a benefit to them, because ultimately it's going to make them look good. But if they're not motivated, then I got to say, is this worth, I got to now say, I could potentially hurt this relationship. And, or I could say, well, it's not worth hurting this relationship. I'm going to decide to lose this one because I think I can win another one.
Right.
Right. And so it's a little, I don't want to, it's, we're talking to a lot of different scenarios and people, and I don't want to have a flat answer, but that's the tough part.
Okay.
But this is also why it's in the, what you do early is so important, because if you can identify the other players and reach out to them, they can't block you.
Yeah. So you're talking to them before it gets into this situation. Like,
yes.
Meaning versus you're feeling like, uh-oh, this is not going well. So now who do I go talk to versus
you're down the line.
I need to improve.
Your,
I mean,
first
is really
meeting,
good.
Your first meeting, like while the thing is kind of not baked, we're kind of just talking and you start asking questions about, well, who's driving this? And here's a question I like to ask a lot, Tab. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned there's four or five people involved in this. If you had to put a star next to somebody's name, who would you put it next to?
See, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Who would you circle? Who would you say the person that you feel like really has the most influence, you know? And so that's kind of what I'm looking for is early. I don't know if I even have anything that's offered you. Let's get to know each other. Who's involved? What's happening? Tell me, where did this come from? Like, back that up. Well, I don't know. Well, who does know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, what's their, you know, and they may not give you the information, but you also have opportunity to reach out to other people before they tell you that you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can hopefully make connections so that you never have to go around anybody, because you're not, you're working with multiple people, and you throw those names out as you meet with the evaluator. Mm-hmm. So that's a key.
Yeah. This has been good. I tell you all the time, every time we do a podcast, I'm writing notes for myself, right? It's great.
I have to do the same thing, Tab.
Well, you forget.
You forget.
We got a lot of things going on, and I'm just sitting here going, I've been making it harder on myself than it really needs to be. Like, I get in there and scratch and claw, but I've got to do what you said. I've got to be in that very first call. That's when I need to start. And I usually wait. I usually wait to the second or third call. Then I start but what I'm doing is I'm being overly optimistic. This is going to work out. It's going to be great. Everybody's happy. We're all happy here. And you think, look, it's going to go
dark. We're so hungry. We're so hungry too. Yes. We're all hungry. We're all, you know, we're all responsible for a number.
Yep.
Right. It's a hard job to get to somebody. Unless you're working for a company, everybody's coming at you, and then you can just fire your customers or prospects, I should say. But it's hard. So it's easy to see. You don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
It's definitely critical. The people that win, and here's the other thing that's great about it. You don't waste time.
Yeah. You just become more efficient.
If people are messing with you and like, well, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not going to, this is a closed thing. We're only going to give you this information. Like, well, then I'm not working with you. Yeah, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. Yeah. If you're just kind of, because a lot of people are reaching out. They just want, hey, we're already working with somebody else, but I want to keep them honest with pricing. So can I get pricing from you?
Yeah, right. It's like, maybe not.
Yeah. I like to think of it, Tab, as there are requirements to working with me. If you want my time, I'm good at what I do. If you want my time and you want me to give you my time and not give it to somebody else, there's requirements to work with me. And here are those requirements. Now, of course, I don't position it that way.
Yeah, but that's your mindset.
But it's my mindset, because it needs to be a win-win. I'm not, if I'm a doctor and I'm an expert at knee surgery, right? I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I focus on knees. The requirement is you have a knee problem.
Yeah.
And by the way, the requirement is I have to talk to the patient.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and the person who's going to fund the surgery.
Yes.
And that you have insurance.
Yeah. Right.
Or you can get insurance.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Well, excellent. Well, this is very helpful. I think it's always a timely reminder for all of us. So
Yeah. I also think, Tab, it's getting harder and harder to do that. And I think, and I would just encourage people as we wrap up, don't be afraid to ask the tough questions, right? Mm-hmm. Just be curious, like, and know how to position the question. Mm-hmm. Here, and here's a little closing tip I'll leave with. The question is, the way you position the questions is, my goal is to help you make the best decision. And for me to do that, I need to know who's involved, who benefits, who loses, what do they care about? Because ultimately, I need to figure out if I can serve you. And by the way, in that process, I might figure out I don't have what you need. I'm not international or don't have the global presence. I know we do, but you know, whatever it is. And so I will exit the process and I will help you find a better solution. I'll be part of your team to help you find a better solution because that's my role. And so if I position it that way and I'm genuine, people typically will tell me what's happening.
Because they genuinely believe that you're there to help them.
Yeah. And they'll also sense that I'm not messing around. Like I don't have time for this. And that makes them want to work with me, I think.
Yeah. Builds more credibility.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we're not working with somebody who's begging to have a meeting.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're working with somebody. It's like when you interview somebody for a job and they're like, I want a job. Can you hire me? What do I need to do? Versus somebody goes, you're not interviewing me. I'm interviewing you. Do I want to work here? I have lots of options.
Yeah.
Those are the people that get hired.
Yeah.
Little tip. That's a little tip for people if they're in the process of looking for a job.
Just a little bonus, a little nugget at the end.
Well, good to see you, my friend. Thanks everybody for joining us for another episode. Love your feedback. Want to serve you. Our vast and growing number of sales reps and leaders and people who are responsible for carrying a number. I know it's difficult. We'd love to help. So constantly give us feedback and give us some comments on how we can better serve you. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Sales with Aslan.